Good morning, everyone. We changed things up on you today, didn't we? A few announcements. Yeah, they can hear me anyway, right?
How's that? The camp at Canaan Acres for teens and children will be in July. Please see the pastor if you'd like to send a child there or sponsor someone. I'm sure she would appreciate that, and so would the child. Today is a very important day, and I'd like to give a round of applause for all the mothers, or we wouldn't be here. On May 22nd, the book study will be starting. If you ordered a book, see Diane. Please give her a donation toward it. They were $12 a pop. And you have to read chapter 1 before the 22nd. That's your homework. Also, please check out the website and invite your friends to, and the same for our Facebook page. Some of the Facebook messages this past week I forwarded on, and I found four or five other people I knew forwarding them on. So everybody appreciates it, and all of them said New Hope on them. Thank you.
Well, happy Mother's Day. In honor of Mother's Day, we will, as a church, we're going to donate to a woman's shelter. So that's what we're going to be doing to honor our mothers. We're going to make a donation to our community, and we are going to do that in honor of New Hope. And so if that's something that you would like to contribute to, then just go ahead and mark that when you put it back in the donation box, and we will make sure that it gets to the right place. So how about the music this morning? I thought that was wonderful. Everybody, didn't you just love the worship music this morning? We're going to start with a call to worship. Like we said, we're in a little bit of a different order. That's okay. And our call to worship this morning goes along with our theme of direction. So today our theme is direction. Last week it was protection and prayer. This week it's direction and prayer. And a little kind of interesting thing about our call to worship, I follow the lectionary for our calls to worship. So I go to the lectionary and I see for the church calendar what the psalm would be for today. And when I went to the psalm for today, it was Psalm 23. What a great psalm to speak about direction. So if everyone would stand with me, I'm going to read that for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. You may be seated. So we're going to be continuing our journey this morning in prayer. So we started last week. We're praying alongside the Church of the Nazarene in the USA and Canada, and we are praying for a renewal and a resurgence in the church so that we would continue on our mission to make disciples of all the nations. That is our call. And so some of you maybe have been joining us on this prayer journey. There's an app. If you've downloaded it, that's awesome. I don't know if you have. I have. I've enjoyed the devotions that have gone with it this week and the prayer directives. So if you haven't, see our Facebook page. It's listed on there. Get that downloaded and start on this prayer journey with us as we pray our way to Pentecost. So last week we talked about the importance of praying for protection. Protection as we live out this call to be disciples who make disciples. And there's an importance in praying that as we are people who will be making disciples of all the nations. So we're not aimlessly wandering out there, right? That as believers, we're not just wandering around, but there's a purpose to our journey and there is a destination. And God, he has a plan for our journey and he desires to lead us on it. So we're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to pray with the entire USA and Canada region that there would be a renewal and a resurgence, not just in the Church of the Nazarene, but in the kingdom of God, that we would begin to see a revival in the church like we're seeing around the world, and that we would see that here in our community and in our state and in our country and in our region, and we would really and truly become people who begin to know Jesus more deeply. And because of that, we will be disciples who make disciples. So our scripture focus this morning comes from Proverbs. This scripture is a very familiar verse to me. I grew up in the Church of the Nazarene as a caravan kid. And so if anybody here was ever a caravan kid, this is the caravan motto, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So in the caravan program, we took that scripture very seriously, and I hope you will too. But I want to read to you kind of, I didn't plan on doing this, but as I read it this morning, I thought, no, we've got to read the whole thing. We've got to read just the first 12 verses. I don't want to just pick that out of there. I want to read those first 12 verses to you. It says, "My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves the one he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we can feel you here. We know that your Holy Spirit is here with us today, and we know that you have something to say to us. God, we would ask that you would give us open ears and open hearts, ready and willing to hear what it is that you would have to say. God, I ask this morning that the words that are spoken would be yours and not mine. In your name, amen. So the first part of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. To trust in someone with your whole heart is a big deal, right? To put your entire faith and your entire trust in another person or in a thing is a big deal, because you're really kind of putting yourself out there and you're really being vulnerable when you give someone your entire heart. You have to have faith that that person or thing is going to do what they say they're going to do, right? They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up, and that they're not going to take advantage of you, right? You have to be able to, when you give someone your whole heart, you are really placing a lot of trust in that person. So as I was thinking about this, I was thinking of a little story, and I've asked permission. You know, in our house, I grew up as a pastor's kid, so we have this thing called the pastor's kid tax, right? So if I say your name or tell a story about you, I got to pay you for it, because my dad always paid me, you know, if he mentioned me in a sermon. So Reagan this morning is going to benefit from the pastor's kid tax, and I do have her permission to share this story, and Brian's as well, because it's kind of funny. Anyway, so I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking about trusting in the Lord with your whole heart, and I was reminded Reagan was about 6 years old. And we were going to the Target in North Canton. Has anybody ever been there? Because it's a nightmare. The parking lot is a nightmare. I mean, I think now, we haven't been there in years, but I think now at like 14 and 11, I'd probably still make them hold my hand in the parking lot. It's terrible. So we're in this parking lot, and we're going to go into Target, and we go into the store, and we do our shopping, and we come out, and as we come out of the store, Reagan says, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to hold your hand, okay? And then I'm going to close my eyes while we walk back to the truck, and I'm going to keep them closed the whole time." And Brian's like, "Sure, you know." Well, this park, it's a big parking lot. So we're walking through the parking lot, and we're talking, and she's holding onto his hand, and she has her little eyes squeezed so tight, she's not opening them at all. And she's just holding onto her dad and trusting that, you know what, he is going to get me where I need to go. And so as we're going through the parking lot, we're almost to the truck. We had his truck. We're almost to the truck. We get there, and all of a sudden I hear, bam. I'm like, what the world? Reagan starts crying. I look around. Brian forgot. He forgot he was leading her and ran her right into the truck. And so she trusted her dad, right? She put all her faith in him. She trusted him with her whole heart that her dad was going to get her exactly where it was that she was going, and she was going to get there safely. And her dad forgot. He messed up. And why? Why is that? Because sometimes as people, we make mistakes, right? Sometimes we don't show up when we say we're going to. And so as believers, we have to be so careful. Not that Reagan can't trust her dad, because she can, because he loves her and he has her best interests at heart. But sometimes people make mistakes, right? And we can't put our whole faith and our whole trust in people, because people will fail us. Not because people aren't good or because people don't love us or all people desire our harm, right? But because sometimes people fail. And sometimes people mess up. But guess who doesn't fail? Jesus. We can put our faith and trust in Jesus. We can hold on to his hand. We can squeeze our eyes tight. And we can know that as he leads us on the path, that he's not going to run us into anything. Right? He is going to make sure that he gets us to our destination. And we can trust him wholeheartedly that if he says, hey, come follow me, he is going to get us there. And he is going to get us there safely. Now, don't think Brian's a bad guy, you know. She can trust him, but, you know, she was fully allowing him to guide her blindly, and he ran her into a truck. So, but Jesus isn't going to do that. He has our best interest. He is not going to take us the wrong direction. His plan and his way, it's the best way, and we can put all of our trust in him, knowing that he is guiding us safely. So what's next? If we're going to trust the Lord with our whole heart, we put all our faith and trust in Jesus, we cannot lean on our own understanding. So just as we can't put all of our faith and trust in other people, we can't put all of our faith and trust in ourselves. And that's that message, you know, in the world, you hear, hey, the only person you can count on is you, right? The only person who's going to take care of you is you. And the fact of the matter is, that's not true, right? How many times have we let our own selves down? We cannot trust on our own understanding. And it might come as a shock to some of us, but we don't know everything, right? We don't know all the things. Now, we think we do because Siri, right? Siri is always there. She is always hearing what we have to say and giving us an answer. In fact, this week in the car, I kind of made a funny statement, and Siri gave me a whole definition about what I had to say. I didn't even ask her. And so we have all this information at our fingertips. If we want to know something, we can figure it out. We can find it out. If we want to learn how to do something, I can guarantee you there's a YouTube video that's going to teach you how to do it, right? We have all of this access. And so sometimes because of this, because of all of the knowledge that we have at our fingertips, we can lean on our own understanding. Because we take matters into our own hands and we try to do things on our own because we have made it so. We have made it so that we have the ability to do this. And the truth is, we don't have endless knowledge. We cannot lean on our own understanding. We have to have Jesus. We need Jesus, right? I don't know about you, but I need Jesus to get up in the morning. I need Jesus to be able to drop my kids off at school. I need Jesus to be able to go to the grocery store. I need Jesus all the time. And I need to focus on needing him so that I don't begin to lean on my own understanding. Because what happens when we start to do that? Let's use the example of dropping your kids off at school. How many moms here? I know that's the joke is, oh, I can't wait until they go back to school. But I always love them to have them home with me, right? I want them to be with me because with me, I know they're safe. With me, I know I can take care of them. I'm in control of the situation when I have my kids, right? But to drop my kids off at school means I have to trust someone else to take care of them, right? I have to trust that someone else is going to keep my children safe. And what did we say earlier? We can't put all our faith and trust in people, right? Because sometimes people let us down. But I can have faith and trust in knowing that as I pray for my children as they leave the house, that God will cover them in a hedge of protection, that he will. And that he is with him. And so I have to put my faith and trust in Jesus. And if I were to lean on my own understanding and want all of that control, what creeps in? Worry, anxiety, right? All of these things start to creep in. But you know what? If we lean on the understanding of Jesus, we don't have to do that. We don't have to worry like that. We don't have to give in to those fears and anxieties because guess what? God is in control. God has them. He has whatever situation that we are in, and he has it under control. So we need Jesus. And how do we do this? How do we put our understanding in Jesus? Well, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. We have to let the Holy Spirit fill us and begin to work in us and to begin to work through us. And we have to listen to what it is that God has to say. And then we need to put those things into practice. Well, you know, even in the Bible, people leaned on their own understanding, right? What's the perfect example of that? Genesis. Adam and Eve made a decision, and they leaned on their own understanding instead of trusting in the words of God. They thought, you know what? Maybe God doesn't know best. Maybe we know best. Maybe if we just do this thing, it'll be okay, because maybe, you know, maybe God doesn't have our best interest. And what happened, right? Now, because of that, we live in a broken world, because people at the very beginning of time decided that their ways were best, and they leaned in on their own understanding. And because of that, the world is broken. And God's desire is that we would seek him in every single choice that we make. And nothing is too silly to talk to God about. There is nothing that is too silly to take to God in prayer. Even the smallest decisions. The smallest decisions that we make can sometimes have the largest impact. And so we need to lean on his understanding and seek his will in everything that we do. And when we begin to be people that do not put trust in our own understanding, but put faith and trust in the understanding of the Lord, he will do a new thing. He will make us new. He will give us some really unique opportunities. Right? And he will give us opportunities to share his story with people in the world who desperately, desperately need to hear it. So what's number three? First, we're going to, you know, trust in the Lord with all our heart. We're going to lean not on our own understanding. And now, in all our ways, we need to acknowledge him. So there's a movie. It's an old movie, Coach Carter. Has anyone seen Coach Carter? So in the movie Coach Carter, there's this basketball team, and they're winning, and they're doing so good, and they're, like, gloating, right? Like, we won, you know, you're terrible, and they're really, like, going on against their opponent about how great they did and all these fabulous things that they did. And so the next day they're at practice, and they're practicing, and every time they would, like, hit a play, the coach would sit, like, really, like, be like, oh, I wrote that play. Isn't that good? Oh, did you see that play? They put that into practice. And one of the teammates, he looks over at the coach and he says, hey, coach, your shoe's untied. And so he leans down to tie his shoe. And he says, oh, my gosh, look at that bow. I tied that bow. He's making such a big deal about tying his shoe. Like, I did that. Do you see that? Doesn't that look good? And he's doing this to teach these kids a lesson, right? Like, yeah, I did a good thing. I made that play. That play helped you to get a winning shot. You got the point. That's awesome. You did do that. And you know what? I tied my own shoe. Look at that shoelace. Doesn't it look great? And he's doing that to say, like, hey, you're taking all the credit. You're taking all of the credit for something that, for one, was a team effort, and two, it came with the direction of the plays that I wrote. And so sometimes don't we do that? Don't we say, like, hey, guys, look at this great thing that I did. Hey, look at this awesome thing that I did. Look at this ministry I'm doing. Hey, listen to that sermon that I preached. Hey, did you see me give to the needy? Did you see me do this? All of these things. Hey, I did that. I tied that bow. When in reality, we didn't. We didn't do it, because we can only do it and only have the power to do it through Jesus Christ living in us. And so we need to acknowledge him in all of our ways. Everything that we do, we could never do on our own. And if we can do it on our own, it can't be that impressive, right? The only way that we're going to do great and awesome things in the kingdom of God is if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us up, and out of the outflowing of that, we do these amazing things. And when we do them, we say, hey, don't look at me. Look at what God did. God tied that bow, right? God did it. It's only because of him that I am even able to do a little bit of the things that I've done. And we can't even begin to take credit, because in reality, we can do nothing. We can do nothing without the filling of the Holy Spirit and the power of God working through us. God is going to work through us. And you know what? He wants us to share those stories. When we do something that seems like it should be impossible, he wants us to say to people, look at what God did in my life. Look at what only God could have accomplished. And when we share those stories, that is what's going to transform people. That is what's going to allow people to see the hope and the joy that comes from seeking Jesus and following after him. And it's contagious. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, we're going to run through a couple scriptures here. And there's a theme. I want you to see if you catch it. Jesus was walking past the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Peter and Andrew walking, and he said, "Follow me, and I'm going to make you fish for people." In Matthew 8:22, Jesus again says to a scribe, "Follow me, let the dead bury their own dead." In Matthew 9:9, Jesus says to Matthew, "Follow me," and Matthew got up and followed him. In Matthew 10:38, Jesus says, "And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John 12:26, Jesus says, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also." All throughout the Gospels, Jesus is asking people to what? To follow him. He doesn't say, "I want you to do this, and this, and this, and this, and then you can come be with me." No, he simply says, "Follow me." In fact, he makes his point when the scribe says to him, "Hey, can I just go bury my father?" And Jesus responds and says, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Right? He's saying, "Just come and follow me. When you follow me, everything else is going to fall into place." What did we say earlier? Right? There's, for one thing, we can't lean on our own understanding. Right? And we need to acknowledge Jesus in all of our ways. And the only way that we can do those things is by simply putting our faith and trust in him and following after him. He's going to change our life when we do that, right? When we start following Jesus, he is going to change our life. If you were to finish all of these stories that I brought up in the Gospels, you would find that these people will never be the same. And in fact, because this group of individuals was never the same, we will never be the same. Because they were faithful, and they took the words that Jesus gave them, and they shared them with others, and they followed after him, and as they followed him, they kept their eyes fixed on him, and they watched him, and they wanted to do what he was doing, and they wanted to be just like him. And because of that, we will see people in eternity that we can never imagine, right? And our lives are eternally changed because of it. And we can be just like this because guess what? Jesus is still saying, "Hey, follow me. Follow after me. Hold on to my hand and go where I am going. And I am going to lead you in all kinds of really cool places. I'm going to let you do some really amazing things if you would just hold on to me and follow me." We put our faith and trust in him and we follow him. And guess what? He's already figured it all out. We don't even have to figure it out. We don't need to ask for the directions because he knows them. And he's going to keep us safe on the journey. We need to give God the credit, right? He is alive and active. He is moving. And he's doing great things. So when we do these first three things, when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, right? When we lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways we acknowledge him. When we do these things, guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to make our path straight. He is going to make our path straight. When we follow Jesus, you know, he might not give us a paved bike trail, right? It might not be really smooth sailing all the way along. There might be roots on the ground, right? We might have to do some incline. There might be some rocks in the way. But it's going to be a straight path, and he's going to get us to our destination. Well, again, as I was thinking about this, I'm reminded, of the Wizard of Oz, right? And what were they on? They were on a path. And they were on a journey. And along the way, on that journey, they met some different characters, right? And as these different characters were put into the life of Dorothy, people began to change. Things began to change. And they weren't the same people. And that is the same. As God keeps our path straight, as we follow after him, we're going to meet some people on the journey. And they are going to be people that you can never even imagine that you would meet. And you are going to meet some really unique individuals, and you're going to change their life, and they're going to change your life. And you're going to go on this journey together, and you're going the same way, and you're going the same destination. And this community is so important. And so as we're on this prayer journey together, as we are praying for direction that we would be able to be disciples who then make disciples, let's ask God, hey, God, let me trust you with my whole heart. Let me just put all my faith and trust in you. And you know what, God? I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I want everything that I know to come from you. I want to put everything that I do to come from you, right? And then this journey, he is going to make our paths straight. We're going to lean into his understanding, and then we're going to give him all the glory when we see what he can do. We are just going to tell everyone, look what the Lord has done. Your life's going to change when you do this. There's no way that it can't. And not only is your life going to change, but the lives of the people around you are going to change. It's inevitable. You cannot stop it, even if you want to. You cannot stop it, because when God moves and you begin to truly seek him, it is going to become contagious. Because we live in a world of people that are desperate for hope, desperate for joy. And why should we keep it a secret when we know what that is? We are compelled to share it. And when we begin to live in this way, we will see renewal in the church. We will see resurgence in the church. There's no question about it. So I just want us to be people of prayer. Let's pray for direction. Let's pray this scripture together, right? Let's pray that we would trust God with our whole heart, that we wouldn't lean on our own understanding, and that we would acknowledge him in all of our ways, and that as he makes our path straight and we start on this journey, that he would help us to ask others to join us on it, and that we would just start to see the world change. So this morning we're going to take communion, and we're going to take it together. We're going to take it a little bit differently than we have, okay? And so this is what I would like you to do. This morning as we take communion, we have three tables here where we have communion. And there's going to be some music that plays, but what I would like you to do today is I'd like you to find a couple people, maybe just like a small group. And I'd like you, before you take your communion, that you would pray together as a group and pray that God will begin to give you direction. Give you direction so that you can begin to invite other people to the table. And maybe that table is here at New Hope, but maybe that table's in your living room. Maybe that table is in the grocery store. Maybe that table is at a coffee shop or a park. Wherever that table is, that you would begin to go in a direction, inviting people to the table so that we would begin to truly be disciples who make disciples. And so the music's going to start playing here in a second. Now just find a couple people and pray together for God's direction. And then take your communion together. And then we'll come back together and we'll pray. Together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we just thank you. We thank you for all that has happened here today. And we know that you have moved and that you have spoken to people's hearts. And God, we ask that we would just put those things into practice, the things that you have said to us. Help us to be intentional people that would go out and that we would find others and that we would share the story of Jesus with those people and we would invite them to the table, God. Help us to be a sent people in your name. Amen. You're dismissed this morning.